chapter 68. And we'll go from verses number 40 to 54. We'll finish the chapter and hear the pastime of Lord Balaram. Okay, text number 40. Today I shall rid the earth of the Kauravas, declared the furious Balaram. Thus each took his plough weapon and rose up as if to set the three worlds ablaze. Now, you'll notice here that Lord Balaram directly deals with the Kauravas. He could have allowed Krishna to perform this pastime. Krishna could have come to Hastinapur. Krishna was on his way, the Yadavas were on their way. So he could have allowed Krishna to take care of it. But he's doing it on behalf of the Yadus and Krishna himself. The Lord Balaram is known as the Supreme Personality of the Servitor Godhead. Which means he doesn't like to see Krishna have to exert himself in any way. So you'll see in all the pastimes that Balaram likes to serve Krishna, facilitate Krishna, and make everything as easy as possible for Krishna. So basically that is the principle of service. The principle of service is that we're taking responsibility for the person who we are serving to make sure that their life is as comfortable as possible. So Lord Balaram, he's showing us this example. This is the service attitude we need to develop. You'll see that the spiritual masters, they're considered to be Ashraya Vigraha. Ashraya Vigraha means the form of shelter, right? So because we are not qualified at this point to directly serve Krishna or Lord Balaram or any of these personalities, the spiritual masters, they appear to accept our service, to train us, even though our service is imperfect, but they train us so that we can learn how to serve Krishna correctly. So that is why the basic principle of service is that you try to make the person you are serving as comfortable as possible. So when we're serving Krishna, we try to make everything as nice as possible for his pleasure. That's the principle. Atmavan Seva. What does that mean? In other words, whatever I am feeling, then we consider that Krishna is also feeling the same way. If we are cold, then Krishna must be cold. If we are hot, Krishna must be hot. If we're hungry, Krishna must be hungry. That is Atmavan Seva. So we're thinking that we need to please Krishna in any way that we can. That is the basic principle. So here, Lord Balaram, he doesn't want Krishna to have to inconvenience himself. So he thinks that I will personally take care of this, and Krishna does not have to exert himself. So this is the principle of servitorship. So Balaram is the original guru. So he's teaching us this basic principle so that we can also learn how to serve. Any points?
Who is this Atmavan Seva? Part of sadhana bhakti, or is it something beyond that?
No, it's part of sadhana bhakti. Because you're practicing. That's sadhana means practice. And ragatmika means everything is fully established. So we're practicing to learn that if I'm feeling like that, Krishna must be feeling like that. We're learning to do that. But actually, in the perfect, on the perfect platform, we will automatically think like that. And we don't have to think, oh, you know, we just automatically think. How is Krishna? Is Krishna satisfied? Is Krishna comfortable? Any other point? The Lord angrily dug up Hastinapur with the tip of his plow and began to drag it, intending to cast the entire city into the Ganges. Buddhavabandha Prabhu, you want to read the first paragraph?
Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. Lord Balarama seemed so furious that he looked as if he could burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes. He stood up steadily and, taking his plow in his hand, began striking the earth with it. In this way, the whole city of Hastinapura was separated from the earth. Lord Balarama then began to drag the city towards the flowing water of River Ganges. Because of this, there was a great tremor throughout Hastinapura, as if there had been an earthquake, and it seemed that the whole city would be dismantled.
Very good. What are the points there?
It's the fact that Lord Balarama was furious, that was enough to actually make the trembling and earthquakes and everything happen.
Anything else?
Most expensive, all power. From a modern perspective, it is impossible to drag the earth. Because we can see around the trees, this is the tip of the spillow, not even the complete power.
Good. Anything else?
And also then Krishna is not satisfied, Balaram is taking it to heart, and how he is reacting, it shows that how much he is taking it seriously.
Yeah, good point. Anything else?
You show very Balaram's strength. He can shake the whole city.
Yeah. So, anger on behalf of Krishna is justified. Rupa Goswami teaches us in the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction, that you have to learn to control anger, Krodha Vega. It is an urge which must be controlled. Anger is not to be rejected, but anger must only be used in the right circumstances. In other words, to purify or to chastise someone who needs correction, to help improve someone. That's when we become angry. So that is the responsibility of the parent, of the guru, of the senior devotees. It is to help lift up the dependents, to bring them up to a higher level of consciousness. So therefore, to do that, sometimes you have to become angry, because then it deeply penetrates the consciousness. When someone becomes angry with us, it leaves a samskara, an impression on us. So that's why anger is necessary, because you have to chastise sometimes in order to leave an impression that this is important. Otherwise the person does not understand it, they don't get it. So they need to sometimes be chastised. So here we are seeing that Lord Balaram here is showing anger, but to rectify the Kauravas. In the material world, when we become angry, it is sense gratification. We're becoming angry because we're getting some pleasure out of that. No? What is the greatest pleasure in this world? Right? It's said to be sex life, but Prabhupada said actually even above sex life, right, is when you kill someone. Right? Because then you have complete control over them. So then if you kill someone, then that is like the greatest pleasure. That's why sometimes people will kill other people. Because it's like total control. So this is like the highest pleasure, which is there. So this may, but it's sense gratification. It's just a feeling that I want to control, I want to enjoy, I want to feel I am superior. So Lord Balaram, his anger is not like that. He doesn't want to kill them for sense gratification. He wants to correct them, to lift their consciousness up. So that's why we become angry. So anger is not to be rejected. Prabhupada said, anger, what is, one time though, someone was arguing with Prabhupada. Oh, Krishna made Arjuna angry on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And like, Prabhupada said, what is wrong with anger? Anger is not bad. But it must be used in Krishna's service. Right? If it's used in Krishna's service, then that's its proper utility. If it's not used in Krishna's service, then we reject it. Right? Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchite. Anything which can't be used in Krishna's service, Nirbandha, we reject it. If something can be used in Krishna's service, Krishna Sambandha, which means connected to Krishna, we accept that thing. So that's the basic principle. We reject something or accept it according to whether it can be used in Krishna's service. So if anger can be used, we accept it. If anger cannot be used, we don't become angry. Yeah. Otherwise, it just sends gratification. So, Balaram is acting like fear personified. It is said that Krishna is feared by fear personified. So Balaram's saying, right? I mean, what is more scary? Has anyone ever been in an earthquake? You've been? Yeah,
yes.
Very.
There's no house in there.
Was it?
In the earthquake happened and we were there.
What did it feel like?
I was very scared.
Yeah, very scared. Because everything is shaking. Even one time I was in Danny Ritapuru's office just over there and we're having a meeting. And it doesn't happen in Melbourne so much, but there was it was an earth tremor. Yeah? And I felt the whole building. It felt like a wave just went like that. You feel like the whole building. Everyone just stopped and looked at each other. Whatever. Because you don't know. There's no control. And that's when you feel very small. Anu. And then you come back down to your position. Your big ego and everything, it all disappears when you're in an earthquake. So Lord Balaram, he gets the whole city with his plow, and so it's a whole earthquake. So he terrifies everyone. Why? To bring them to their senses. Now that's why Krishna does that to us. Sometimes Krishna puts us in a situation to bring us to our senses, to get rid of our false ego. Just like one sannyasi, he was telling the story. He went to the Jamuna, and he wears glasses because his eyesight is not so good. So he went to the Jamuna. And he took bath in the Jamuna. And then he came out and he was drying himself. And then on the ground, on the step, not so far away from where he saw a snake. So he became very scared. And then he grabbed his glasses, put on the glasses. It was just a piece of rope. But then he said, Krishna was bringing me into my senses. Because he just arrived in Vrindavan. And he said, now Krishna is like freeing him from false ego. This is how we have to enter the spiritual world, free from false ego. When you enter Vrindavan, you have to be free from false ego. So Krishna arranges to take your false ego away. And then Maharaj said that then a year later, he went back and took bath in the Jamuna. He came out and then he had his glasses were not there. And then he looked down and he saw a snake. And he thought, oh no, it's just a rope. So he put on his glasses. Actually, it was a snake. So he said, again, Krishna was doing that 2 years in a row. So Krishna is teaching. So that's why Krishna will sometimes chastise. So Lord Balaram is being very merciful. When we go through these circumstances, then it makes us become sober. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dhiras tatra namuyate. You have to become dhira. Dhira means sober. If you're bewildered by the material world, you cannot surrender to Krishna. So then Krishna sometimes puts you in an earthquake. So if it's not an earthquake, then maybe it's a tsunami. If it's not a tsunami, then maybe it's a Davanala, forest fire, or different things Krishna will give. He gives problems to make us surrender unto him. So, any points?
Lord Brahma can use his anger to serve Radha.
Yeah. That is okay. That kind of anger is okay. That kind of anger is okay.
Yes.
He even passed water in the mouth of the Rakshasa. Okay, so read the next paragraph. Yogi, you'd like to read the second paragraph?
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states that by the Lord's desire, his plow had increased in size, and thus Balaram became dragging Hastinapur towards the water. He ordered the Ganges, except for Samba, you should attack and kill everyone in the city with pure water. Thus, he would fulfill his promise to rid the earth of the Kauravas while making sure that nothing would happen to Samba.
Any points? So, basically, it's showing how Balaram's power is inconceivable. Krishna has inconceivable power. He can do things that no one else can do. So he makes his plow very large, because he has to pull a whole city into the river. So his plow becomes very large. So just by his desire, Ichchashakti, all these things can manifest. That is inconceivable. We cannot do like that. Right? Just like if you want to eat, just say you feel like eating donuts. Can you make the donuts just appear? No. You have to go to the kitchen and cook and make. But if Krishna or Balaram desire donuts, then just everything is manifest. That is their inconceivable potency. So if he wants to pull the city, then he can make his plow so big, right, that it can pull the whole city into the river. Right? So whatever he desires, it can manifest. That's his potency. And then he makes the plow so big, and also his desire is that everyone will be taken by Mother Ganga when they're pulled into the water. She will come and she will drown them. Because when you take bath, there's a deity in the water. Even when we're taking bath, we're taking a shower, right? There is a deity. There is a presiding deity of the water. So if that deity wants to take you, then... So the Ganga was instructed by Lord Balaram, you take all of them, drown them all, but not Samba. So that is his inconceivable potency, that he can speak to a river, and the river will do whatever he says. This shows. Do you believe all this is true?
Yes.
Yeah, we
believe. We have shown that the earth is changed the names of rivers.
Yeah. Yeah, the holy rivers. So all these things are true. This is what it means to believe in God. God is unlimited. Right? If you limit God or say he cannot do something, that means your faith is weak. Yeah? Oh, he could not do that, or he could not do that. No, that means he can do anything and everything. That is called achintya. It's inconceivable. It's inconceivable, everything that he can do. He is unlimited in power.
What is it called?
Achintya. Inconceivable. Achintya Shakti. Any points?
When we were little, my dad used to instruct us that when we bathe, shower, he used to say you should always ask God to help you, to help the water purify you from bad thoughts and bad things and sins and everything. So water has some purifying power.
Yeah, it makes everything pure, you know, because and it gets the shakti or the energy or the ability to do that from Krishna.
And nothing's hard for God. So
I've heard that.
So the Ganga can, he can ask the Ganga to choose who. So, which leads you to think sometimes when there's a big catastrophe in the world, so many people die, but some still live.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks it's just chaos, but it's not. God chooses everything.
Yeah.
Does it mean that we are the praying to the seven rivers to give us
the bhakti to love Krishna? Yeah.
Any other points? Actually, my Guru Maharaj mentions that every time you have a shower, you should mention Ganga, at least three times. Mm. And it's equivalent to actually having a shower in Ganga. Mm. Which is what we say. And he also said, this is a secret, don't tell me.
Is that Jayapataka Swami?
Yes.
I heard a funny story about that once.
Yes.
That he was saying Ganga, Ganga, Ganga in the shower.
Yeah.
And one of the devotees called Ganga started to break down the door because he thought he was calling him and he was in trouble. So since then I say Ganga, Ganga all the time.
So is it good to say the seven names of the rivers or just three times?
Both are good, as you like.
But other rivers come from
Ganga. Yeah, Ganga is, she's Pavitra, she's purifying all the rivers. So you chant Ganga, 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 or whatever it is you like to chant, it will purify you.
I have heard Jai Ganga, Jai Jamuna, Jai Godavari, Jai Krishna, Jai Kaveri, Jai Mahanadi, Jai Tapti, Jai Gandak, Jai Koshi.
Yeah, as you like. All is good. Seeing that their city was tumbling about like a raft at sea as it was being dragged away, and that it was about to fall into the Ganges, the Kauravas became terrified. To save their lives, they approached the Lord for shelter, taking their families with them. Placing Sambha and Lakshmana in front, they joined their palms in supplication. So Mahatma Prabhu?
City of Hastinapur began to roll about like a wreck in a stormy sea. The frightened Kauravas quickly appeased the Lord, immediately brought Sambha and Lakshmana and placed them in front.
Any points?
The fear can make anybody right. The fear of the strength of somebody.
Mm. Anything else?
For some people to become humble, they go through suffering. It looks like Kauravas. They could have been more humble in the start, but they had to go through the suffering.
Mm.
And then only come to the senses.
Yeah.
Good. I think you said we must submit to the power.
Submit to?
Submit to the power of somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so if you don't bow down voluntarily, you'll be forced to bow down. Second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says that what is the use of having a head on the body if it does not bow before the form of the Lord? If you don't voluntarily touch your head to the ground, then you'll be forced to at the time of death. No? At the time of death, you offer full dandavas. No? You have to offer your obeisances to Krishna. No? So better you offer your obeisances voluntarily. No? Otherwise, at the end, Krishna will make you offer obeisances. But it's your choice. No? So everyone has to bow down. That's the point. So if you don't submit to Krishna, then you will be forced to submit to Krishna. So Balaram is forcing them to submit because they're not doing it voluntarily. So he says, okay, then we'll force you to. So, as we said last night, if we offend someone, then we have to pacify them. Right? If you commit an offense, you must immediately take care of that offense. You have to go to the person and pacify the person. It says in the Madhurya Kadambini, no? By Vishnu Chakravarti, that if you offend a devotee, immediately you have to go and you have to fall down at the feet of that devotee and beg forgiveness. If the devotee does not forgive you, then you have to incessantly take shelter of the holy name. And the holy name will forgive you. Yeah? If the devotee will not forgive you. That's very rare that a devotee will not forgive. Devotees almost always forgive. No, that's their nature. But the point is if you commit an offense, you must pacify the person. Right? And it says that if you offend a devotee, you must go to that devotee, beg forgiveness, right? And then you have to serve the devotee. Right? You don't just offer obeisances and ask for forgiveness and then walk away. No, then you have to stay and you have to serve. And then if you upset someone, then you should take time in the future to offer nice services to them and pacify them and show them that you've changed your consciousness. Yeah? So that is the mentality of a devotee. They want to rectify. Yeah? So Lord Balaram, yeah, he crushes their pride and then they change. And they begin to offer service to Lord Balaram. And then they bring Lakshmana and Samba and they try to. Any points?
So if you don't intend to offend the devotee, the other person gets offended anyway. And you're still going back to ask for forgiveness. Well, what happens then if they don't accept it?
So what's the whole thing?
So the thing is, first you didn't intend to offend.
Yeah, you didn't mean to offend, but you offend and then you say sorry and they're still...
Yeah.
You know, some people are just like that. Then,
but devotees.
Yeah, it's case by case. You have to see. Case by case. Individual by individual. Some people, it doesn't matter what you do, they're not happy, so it doesn't matter. Other people, they forgive very easily and like that, so you just have to see. But the point is that, you know, if you offended them and then you come to them and you're forgiving, you're sincere and you're begging pardon from them, then they should. You know, if they still don't, then just take shelter of the holy name and be respectful.
Should we try not to become offended?
Yeah, of course.
In the first place? And how do we do that?
By being humble.
It's
hard. That's not my problem, that's your problem.
No, it's my big problem.
Well, then it's your big problem. So work on your big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Any other?
Is Bhakti when we are come again in this world?
Yeah.
You have it in?
Yeah, it's a quality of a Brahmana to forgive.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should be forgiving. The Kauravas said, O Rama, Rama, foundation of everything, we know nothing of your power. Please excuse our offense, for we are ignorant and misguided. So, why could they not understand his position before this? Yeah, they're proud. Right. And when you're proud, then you may be offensive. So you're an aparadi. Aparadi means an offender, someone who commits offense to others. So if someone is an aparadi, then they cannot understand Krishna's position. If you commit offenses, you won't understand who Krishna is. Right? And also it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you are a Pashandi, what is Pashandi?
Pretender.
Yeah, pretender means an atheist.
Non-believer.
What's that?
Non-believer.
Yeah, non-believer. Yeah, non-believer. Yeah, it means an atheist. Yeah. So it means these people, they will also commit offenses. Why? Because they're proud. They do not believe in God. So therefore, they are pashandi, pretenders. Pretending to be something great, but actually they're just an atheist. They're very low-class people. So when someone is this kind of mentality, they cannot get the mercy of Krishna. So if someone does not believe in Krishna's position, his power, and if someone offends Krishna, then they don't have the ability to understand his position. And if they don't have the ability to understand his position, then they're in an unfortunate situation. So here, they had to be humbled and then they came to their senses. So the same thing. So if someone's committing aparad, they need to be chastised and then maybe they'll come to their senses. If someone does not believe in Krishna, they have to be chastised and then they will come to their senses. Yeah? That's the way the material energy will deal with them. Any points? Okay. You alone cause the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the cosmos. And of you, there is no prior cause. Indeed, O Lord, authorities say that the worlds are merely playthings for you as you perform your pastimes. So now they're coming to their senses. Now they're understanding his position. And they're offering appropriate prayers. Why did they not speak like this before? Yeah, they were proud. They were not understanding his superior position.
Arrogant,
yeah. They were offensive. Right? And then when you have these kind of qualities, these negative qualities, you can't understand someone's position. The nature of the material world is we always try to belittle others. The nature of the material world is we like to bring other people down. That's based upon envy, Mansura. When we're envious of others, we like to bring them down. We don't like to lift them up. So sometimes when we're envious, then other devotees, they do some nice service, but we like to belittle it. Oh, yeah, that was okay. Actually, they did very nice service, but we won't admit that. Because we want to get become prominent or get recognition. So then we'll be little. So when we become free from envy, free from pride, then we like to see the other devotees exalted. We like to see them praised and adored by others. So that is the consciousness of an actual devotee. So unfortunately, they did not have this consciousness. So they had to become humbled first. And then when they become humbled, then they became to the platform, now they can offer actual prayers. If we're not humble, we can't offer correct prayers to others. Any points? Okay.
In the material world, everybody wants profit, adoration, and distinction.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. O unlimited one of 1,000 heads, as your pastime, you carry this earthly globe upon one of your heads. At the time of annihilation, you withdraw the entire universe within your body and, remaining all alone, lie down to rest. So, who is being spoken of here? Anantasesh. Anantasesh is an expansion of Lord Balaram. Now, Krishna expands as Mahavishnu, Gavadakshaya Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu. This is Krishna. Well, Balaram expands as Anantasesh. He is the like snake carrier. When Lord Vishnu lies down, he lies down on the bed of Anantasesh. That is his lila, his pastime. Once again, he likes to serve the Lord. So he expands like that, to serve the Lord in that particular form. So this is just an expansion of an expansion of expansion of Lord Balaram. Lord Anantasesh is so powerful, yet he is just an expansion of Balaram. Lord Balaram expands in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nityananda Prabhu. So if you go to Jagannath Puri, and there's one lake just behind the Gundicha temple, and it's called Indradumna Sarovara. Anyone been there? Check. Indradumna Sarovara? Yeah, behind the lake. Behind the Gundicha temple. So at that place, Lord Chaitanya would take bath with his devotees. And sometimes Lord Nityananda would float on the water, and Lord Chaitanya would float on top of him. And they would float around. And everyone would say, that is like Mahavishnu and Anantasesh. They would perform that lila. That is the position. Lord Nityananda, he likes to serve. Lord Balaram likes to serve. So here, it is explaining that this is Anantasesh, the expansion. Now, what we are talking about is the ultimate reality. What is the ultimate reality for a devotee? It is the spiritual world. You can't understand the spiritual world until you become detached from the material world. So you develop detachment. If you're in an earthquake or some very difficult situation in your life, then you become
detached
because you realize you can't enjoy in this material world. It is not for your enjoyment. You're not meant to be an enjoyer. So that's why these difficulties come. And when the difficulties come, then we become detached. So you cannot enter the ultimate reality of the spiritual world until you let go of this material world. So Lord Balaram, he is shaking the whole city to let everyone in the city surrender unto him. And what do people usually do? When there's an emergency, we call out to Krishna. So everyone in the city would be calling out. So they're taking shelter, and then in that, because they're now in their, now they're in the correct mood, then he gives shelter to all of them. Any points?
Just a question. Just before Lord Balaram was teaching the children how to do the
fight with the club.
Fight with the club. He knew his prowess, and now they become sort of very arrogant towards Lord Balaram. Now all of a sudden they're making prayers which are basically addressing Lord Balaram as Anantasesh Mola. So did they know this before they even started being arrogant?
I mean, the devotees amongst them did. Bhishma, Drona, those who were devotional, they definitely knew. It mentions the others also knew, but whether they really understood his supreme position or not, we're not entirely sure. So either they were not really convinced, or they just wanted to see him perform a pastime.
Okay.
So Bhishma and everyone knew that he was going to show his strength, so they wanted to see that. And maybe there were some amongst them who were just disrespectful.
Okay.
Any other points?
So, a lot of people you hear that atheists say that if there really was a God, there wouldn't be fear and hatred and anger. So this is a very nice description of how God uses these things to help you get to him.
Yeah.
It's not that he's mean or nasty, it's
Yeah,
it's
mercy. You should go and read it to these people. Tell them to read this and understand it. Okay. All right. Your anger is meant for instructing everyone. It is not a manifestation of hatred or envy. O Supreme Lord, you sustain the pure mode of goodness, and you become angry only to maintain and protect this world. So, Janesh, you want to...
The Guru is saying that Lord Balaram's anger was entirely appropriate and in fact was meant for their benefit. As Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti puts it, the Guru is meant to say, because you exhibited this anger, we have now become civilized, whereas previously we were wicked and could not see you, blinded as we were by pride.
Any points there?
Need the danda.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we need the danda. Any other point?
I think that the Yogamaya or Lord Krishna wanted to have the pastimes because these people are not foolish. They knew so much about Krishna and Balaram's pastimes in Vrindavan and Yuri. But still, it happened because of the ignorance of Krishna.
Everything happens because Krishna desires.
And also to teach us that we should not give up.
That is true.
Otherwise, we can never grow.
Back to Krishna. Yes. You have to be more humble and avoid the cross. And more tolerant than the truth. Any other point? So, once again, it mentions here that his anger was not based upon hatred or envy. So when we become angry in our service to Krishna, it cannot be based upon hatred or envy. If we become angry with someone, that is to instruct them, that is for their benefit. Right? You need to become angry with your kids sometimes. Otherwise they will not learn. They will not develop good qualities. Chanakya says, if you don't chastise your kids, they will not develop good qualities. So therefore you have to. That is the duty of the parent. So same with the junior devotees. Senior devotees, sometimes we have to chastise. Otherwise the devotees won't develop good qualities. So it is necessary. So that is the duty. But it cannot be out of hatred or envy. It must be done with the right intention. Then it mentions that when you chastise someone, we have to see reformation in their character. That's what jails are for, prisons. They're actually called reformatory centers. Why do you send someone to jail? To reform them. What's the point? You go to jail, you come out, you don't learn anything. Like many people, they go to jail, they come out, they just do the same thing again. That means it's, the system is not working. It's meant to reform you. Right? That's why in the Vedic system you have capital punishment. In Australia that is illegal, no capital punishment. You cannot kill a criminal. So I'll send them to jail. And we'll, no, actually the system is you have to kill them. Someone murders someone, then you murder them. You kill them. Straight away. You don't even have to have a trial. Just Chhatri just goes, just kills them. That is it, because that will reform them, because their soul going through that, then their next life, that will be in their subtle body and they will be more well behaved, we would hope. Right? And it means everyone else will start behaving themselves more as well. Just like if you're at school and the teacher gets really heavy on one of the kids, all the other kids, I think, well, I'm not going to do that, otherwise I will also get in trouble. So that's when you need to have strong authority. And why does Krishna do all this? Why does he chastise in the material world? To maintain good behavior. Because we need to develop good character. If you want to go back to the spiritual world, hands up if you want to go back to the spiritual world. Okay, everyone wants to go back. Nearly everyone wants to go back. Then if you want to go back to the spiritual world, you have to have good qualities. That's the whole point. That's why we get reformed. That's why the Lord arranges that, to purify us so we'll develop good qualities. There are 26 qualities of a devotee. You have to develop those qualities if you want to go back to Krishna, otherwise you can't go back. Otherwise it's too difficult. Any points? Okay. We bow down to you, O soul of all beings, O wielder of potencies, O tireless maker of the universe, offering your obeisances. We take shelter of you. So, Alia, you want to...
The Kauravas clearly realized that their lives and destinies were in the hands of the Lord.
Any points there?
A soul of all beings, isn't that Krishna?
Oh, soul of all beings, yeah. Krishna and Balaram. Mm.
So here it's saying that they're not different.
Yeah, well, they're almost not different. Mm. I mean, they're both God. We just want to get in front of someone. We don't, it doesn't matter so much which form of Krishna it is. But.
See, after knowing so much, why did they still went for the Kurukshetra war?
I was thinking the same thing. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. Because they're covered. Yeah. Bhishma did not want the war, all that. It was really Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Duryodhana had a very, very bad heart. He was a very bad person.
Would it be Yogamaya again?
No, not really Yogamaya. It was.
So that girl was his daughter.
There's also Mahamaya. So, Duryodhana, when he was born, right? His parents were instructed, you should kill him. That's very heavy instruction. You imagine you have a child, and then one of the senior devotees said, you have to kill your child at birth. That's very heavy instruction. But they were given that instruction because everyone knew he was so inauspicious, he would destroy the dynasty. So therefore, even though everyone else knew these things, still he was so evil, he wanted to still go to battle. So envious of Arjuna and Yudhisthira. So, we're seeing here that in order to become sober, we have to face death. That's the experience we have in this world. You see, when death is around us, when someone close to us dies, we become very sober. It says there are three times when we become sober. What are the three circumstances?
In the cemetery.
We become dearer.
In the cemetery.
Yeah, in the cemetery. Right? When someone is dying, then you become very sober. Right? Then, in the hospital, when you're sick or when someone else is sick, you become very sober. And then, in the Bhagavatam class. you become very sober. Bhagavatam class. Right? Then you become very sober. When you leave the class, then, okay, you may become covered again. But at least in these three places, usually we become sober. Right? At the hospital, at the crematorium, and in the Bhagavatam class. So we should try to, in between being at these three places, we should try to maintain our sobriety. Remain sober, remain fixed. Don't become bewildered by the material world. But we forget all the time. And then we become bewildered by Maya, the material world. Any points?
Who has predicted this?
That Vyasadeva. He said, kill him.
Vidura.
Yeah.
So who did Vyasadeva or
Vidura?
Both. Shukadeva Goswami said, thus propitiated by the Kurus, whose city was trembling and who were surrendering to him in great distress, Lord Balaram became very calm and kindly disposed toward them. Do not be afraid, he said, and took away their fear. So, the Lord is known as Patita Pavana. Well, what does that mean? Patita. What does it mean? Savior of? The fallen. What does petita mean?
Someone who's very fallen.
Yeah, it means, petita means someone who has fallen down, like offering dandavats. That is considered petita. Right? So, when someone comes like that, then you become very soft-hearted. Normally, most of us become very soft. Right? When someone becomes very humble, then our hearts become soft, we forgive them. Right? So when they became like that in front of Lord Balaram, then he became very soft. He said, do not be afraid. I'm not going to kill you. Right? That's someone who has good character. Someone who does not have good character, someone may surrender, but then they'll still kill them anyway. Right? Like King Vena or one of these personalities. Now, they cause all the problems. Yeah. But when someone has good qualities, like Lord Balaram, when he sees that someone is surrendering, so if we go to the temple, we offer obeisances to the deities, we surrender, then they will look after us. That's the basic principle. Any points? Duryodhana, being very affectionate to his daughter, gave as her dowry 1,260-year-old elephants, 120,000 horses, 6,000 golden chariots shining like the sun, and 1,000 maidservants with jeweled lockets on their necks. So this is a suitable dowry. When the kids get married, then we give dowry. You give something to make the partnership auspicious. So this is a very good dowry. Right. 1,200 elephants. That's a powerful gift. 1,200 elephants. You can do a lot with 1,200 elephants. How rich do you have to be to maintain 1,200 elephants? Very rich. What city are they living in?
Hastinapur.
Hastinapur. What does that city mean?
Delhi.
I know it's Delhi, but what does Hastinapur mean?
City of the world?
No, it means city of elephants. Hasti. That's why it was called Hastinapur. There were so many elephants, they said, oh, that's the elephant city. Hastinapur, right? Because if you have one elephant, that means you're very rich. Right? If you have 10 elephants, then you're, and you're giving away 1,200 elephants, you must be very powerful. If you can give 1,200 elephants away, and if you can accept them and maintain them, you're very powerful. Right? If someone gave you 1,200 elephants, what would you do?
No, thanks.
We say, just wait here, I'll be back in a minute. How are you going to maintain 1,200 elephants? Right? How are you going to maintain 120,000 horses? That's an inconceivable amount of horses. How can you feed that many horses? Especially now, Australia is in drought. They're having trouble feeding everything. How is it possible you can maintain and feed all the horses? So it means you must be very powerful. So that's the dowry system. When the child gets married, then you give some gift along with it. The Supreme Lord, Chief of the Yadavas, accepted all these gifts and then departed with his son and daughter-in-law as his well-wishers bid him farewell. The Lord, Halayuta, entered his city, Dwarka, and met his relatives, whose hearts were all bound to him in loving attachment. In the assembly hall, he reported to the Yadu leaders everything about his dealings with the Kurus. Even today, the city of Hastinapur is visibly elevated on its southern side along the Ganges, thus showing the signs of Lord Balaram's prowess.
Wow.
So, Atish, you like to read?
Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. For the most part, it was the practice of Kshatriya kings to inaugurate some kind of fighting between the parties of the bride and bridegroom before the marriage. When Sambha forcibly took away Lakshmana, the elderly members of the Kuru dynasty were pleased to see that he was actually the suitable match for her. In order to see his personal strength, however, they fought with him, and without any respect for the regulations of fighting, they all arrested him. When the Yadu dynasty decided to release Sambha from the confinement of the Kurus, Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter, and as a powerful Kshatriya, he ordered them to free Sambha immediately. The Kauravas became superficially insulted by this order, so they challenged Lord Balaram's power. They simply wanted to see him exhibit his inconceivable strength. Thus, with great pleasure, they handed over their daughter to Sambha, and the whole matter was settled. Duryodhana, being affectionate toward his daughter Lakshmana, had been married to Sambha in great pomp. Balaram was very satisfied after his great reception from the side of the Kurus, and accompanied by the newly married couple. He started toward his capital city of Dwarka. Lord Balaram triumphantly reached Dwarka, where he met with many citizens who were all his devotees and friends. When they all assembled, Lord Balaram narrated the whole story of the marriage, and they were astonished to hear how Balaram had made the city of Hastinapur tremble.
Any points?
So saying, what should be our mood towards Krishna and Balaram? So they used to say that we should pray to Lord Balaram for spiritual strength, and then we should pray to Lord Krishna for spiritual intelligence. Because we have a lot of intelligence and strength to progress. This is Balaram's all powerful. Thank you for the strength. We pray there.
Is there any significance of 60,000 fold elephant?
The numbers may or may not be significant, but...
Now, why 60 years old?
Oh, 60 years old. It just means they were mature. No, not old. Elephants live for a long time, so... Doesn't mean they're old elephants. Means they're mature, my good. Means it's an auspicious time to give the elephant.
That
does
a very valuable. The dust for the elephant is very valuable.
Yeah. So, if someone is powerful, they don't speak, they act. So, as devotees, we should not speak too much. We should not say, I will do this, I will do that. You should just do it. And if you do it, then everyone will become convinced. Otherwise, you tell everyone you can do it, and then you don't do it, then... So better, you know, as Krishna says, a real kshatriya, right? He shows his prowess by action, not by speaking. Any other points? Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah. Sure.